You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Liberty Family Church. For more information about our church, head to the website libertyfamilychurch.net.au.
Okay, so we are looking very Christmassy and we're almost at our Christmas series, but we've got one more message to go in our Parables of Jesus series. And this one is perhaps one of the most well-known parables of all, the parable of the talents from Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. Let's read that passage together. This is Jesus says, he says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2, and to another, 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' But the master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Whew. How about we pray? I think we need to pray this morning as we wrap up our series. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to come before you now humbly with open hearts. Lord, we say even to our own hearts this morning, heart, be teachable today. Be open today. Be awake. Be willing to take on board what God's word is saying to us, what Jesus is urging us to be aware of, what he's telling us to do, what he's just urging us to avoid at all costs. Holy Spirit, may we gain your insights today from this passage so that we would set ourselves on the path that leads to life and not the path that leads to eternal torment aside from you. So God, we invite you to help us through this tough teaching today. And we know, God, that you abide with us when we invite you to. So come and abide with us now and speak the truth that sets us free to each of our hearts today. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Amen. So, as you've probably already gathered in hearing that read again, this one's a pretty confronting one. This is a pretty confronting parable. Many of Jesus' parables are, but this one kind of takes the cake in many ways, doesn't it? You hear those words read and it just kind of really hits home. It's like if you ever played footy and someone lines you right up, right through the middle of your chest and you get the air taken out of your lungs and you're gasping for breath. It's a bit like that, isn't it? Says people who have no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, so Jesus' parable, while it's referring to talents, isn't just about money. It's not just about making savvy financial investments. But what Jesus is getting at here is it's about how we handle every single thing that God has given to us. Is that clear? You know, our gifts, our finances, sure. Our time, our resources, our talents, whatever it is, everything that we have been blessed with and can use at our disposal for God's glory and, as we've looked at earlier on in the series, for the good of others as well. My ESV study Bible says this about the parable. It says, the central point of the parable concerns the importance of being a faithful servant of all that God has entrusted to one's care. That's it. Good summary. So, the good news or the bad news, depends on how we look at it, is no one is off the hook. None of us are off the hook on this one. Yeah? Okay. None of us on the hook, off the hook. We've all been entrusted with much. Our much looks different to the person sitting next to us, but each and every one of us have been entrusted by God with much. So the question is, really, for all of us is, what are we going to do with the much that we've been given? What are we going to do? What will we do with what God has given us? How will we choose to use it in this life in line with the warnings and the encouragements within this parable? And if you think about it pretty soberingly, what are the eternal implications are there for God's people who invest their resources well and not well at all? So what we're going to do is we'll just walk our way through this passage step by step and drawing out some points to reflect on as we go along. So verse 14 says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Whose property did the master entrust to his servants? It was his. It's his property. And this is crucial for all of us to grasp. God entrusts each of us with his gifts. Yeah? They're not yours. They're not the church's. They're his. They're given by a good God for the good of you and the good of the church, but they're ultimately his. He entrusts his resources to us. Now, it's pretty incredible if you think about it. Your talent, your money, your time, even the relationships that you have, they're all given by God and they belong to God. He is the owner. We are simply called to be caretakers. Yeah? We're caretakers, servants who are invited by him to care for and serve him with all that we have been given. Whatever it is we've been given. You know, we were here last night, many of us, and there were some pretty talented singers, weren't there? Do you know what the call on a talented singer's life is? It's to sing to the glory of God. That's it. That's worship. Worship is life. For someone with a gift of singing, it's to sing to the glory of God. If we're talented with numbers, like Lachlan Rogers down here, there might be some others who are talented too, but do you know what his call is to do? It's to crunch numbers to the glory of God and sing. If we're gifted with great wealth, and some of us in this room are, as we've already reflected on earlier in the parable of the rich fool, we're not called to be rich for ourselves, we're called to be rich to God. And that means we invest the funds we have at our disposal for the glory of God and the good of others. Think about it like this. You are uniquely gifted by God to do things that only you can do. Yeah? So the person sitting next to you is uniquely gifted by God, but chances are they're not uniquely gifted in all the same ways that you're uniquely gifted. So here's a good one for parents. This is a bit of a bugbear of mine, I must admit. But parents, do yourself a favor and don't tell them that they can be whatever they want to be or do whatever they want to do. Don't do that to your kids. That's a lie of this age that really I think is causing a lot of destruction and anxiety in young people as they pursue dreams that they're just not gifted for. They fall in a heap and then they start questioning their worth and place in society. it's a really sad, tragic thing. You can't be whatever you want to be. It's just not how life works. You know, I Daryl, you'll know this. We played basketball together quite a while ago, and you know, I could have had a dream. I quite wouldn't have minded pulling on an NBA jersey. But Chan, if you look at me, you'll see I'm slightly vertically challenged. So most people in the NBA are probably double my height, or not quite, but you know what I'm saying. So while I have the desire, has God gifted me with the abilities to be anything more than just a reasonably handy social league player? No, he hasn't. So I can't be whatever I want to be. I just don't have the talent. Can I encourage you parents with your kids? Here's something that you would be better off encouraging your children with, and it's this. You can't be whatever you want to be, but you can be everything that God has gifted you to be. Yeah? You can't be anything you want to be, but you can be everything that God has gifted you and called you to be. That is a far better encouragement for any child. And if you're older in this room too, and you know you're searching for, well, what is this? God, what's the thing that you're calling me to? What are the gifts that I've got to use for your good? Maybe start thinking along those lines. Invite him to reveal to your heart, God, what are those things that you've gifted me to be? How can I use them for you? And encourage your own heart in this as well. Anyway, that was my bugbear, one of them. You know them all. It's been 12 years or so, hasn't it? We're all gifted by God with different gifts. And they're gifted by God with an expectation, an invitation to use them for his glory, not just use them for ourselves. So really the question is, how are you harnessing your gifts? Are you treating the gifts that you've been given by God with care? Are you employing your gifts for the good of other people, for the flourishing of God's kingdom here on earth? Because, and here's the thing, and this is encouragement for you if you're more mature in age too, your gifts are able to be used till your last breath. Yeah? Malcolm's with me. Sometimes, can I just say this from the heart for those more mature in age? I chat with many of you. Life's hard because your bodies are starting to fail. Things don't work the way they do. People move on to glory and you lament that and it hurts. Please, please, please keep being there for younger believers. Please. You've got gifts, you've got insights, you've got wisdom that you only get from a lifetime of following Jesus. And if you just hold that to yourself, there's many people my age and younger who are missing out. So please, 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 please. You never stop serving Jesus and using your gifts until your final breath. Okay. So that's the first point. God entrusts us with his gifts. And here's the second. God gives us gifts that we can handle. Matthew 25:15, Jesus says, to one he gave five, to another two, to another one. Here's the key, to each according to his ability. Has anyone ever been caught in the comparison trap before? A few honest people. I have, no question about that. And I'm pretty sure all of us have to some degree from time to time. You know, it could be in our professional capacity. We're in our field of expertise and we think we're doing okay, but then we see someone else and they're absolutely killing it. They're kicking goals. They're making oodles of cash. Their business is growing, whatever it is. And we start comparing ourselves to them. And we think, is this all I've got? Like, I'm sure if I had what they had, then I'd be doing better. And we get in this spiral of comparison, which often leads to contempt or even hatred for others and slowly kills us from the inside out, yeah? It's a very dangerous place to be. Now, here's the thing with this parable. The master gave each servant talents that he knew that they were capable of managing. He knew that they could handle. And the implication for us is that God knows what we can handle too. He knows what you can handle as well. We might think that we can handle what our neighbor can handle over there, but we might not actually be able to. We might think, man, if only I was wealthy, then I could be generous. Not a good thing, not a good thought, that one. But God knows what we can handle, and he knows that if we were to become wealthy, then we would also become a rich fool. And so he protects us from that by only giving us what he knows we can handle. Yeah? God knows what we can handle, and he gives us what we can handle. One writer says this, and I think this is a great thought. God's not asking for the same output from everyone, but he is asking for faithfulness from everyone. All of us have been given talents, abilities, resources, time by God. And while we so often get caught up in this comparison kind of trap, thinking and looking at others and going, oh, they've got more than I've got. They can do more than I can do. They can sing really well and I can't. If only you saw me on the basketball court, you know, those kind of things. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't compare us with others and say, oh, well, so-and-so is lesser because they can only take one. Not at all. He knows what we can handle. And he'll give us what we can handle and utilize for his kingdom's good because he's a good God. He's only concerned that we will be faithful and wise in stewarding whatever it is that he's given us, whatever talents we've been given, for his glory and the good of other people. Amen? After all, we all want to hear Jesus say these words in Matthew 25:21, when we've been faithful in stewarding what we've been given. Jesus said, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much in glory. How good's that? So let's commit ourselves to growing as good and faithful servants with Holy Spirit's help, friends. Let's be faithful with the little that we've been given and can handle now, and just see how we will be blessed one day in glory with the eternal treasures and responsibilities in his kingdom. How good's that? Okay, so God entrusts us with his gifts. God gives us gifts that we can handle. And God honors creativity and diligence. Matthew 25:16-17. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. Jesus commends the servants in the parable who didn't sit on the talents that they'd been given. You know, just sit on them like a hen warming the eggs, you know? Not really good for much, is it? A talent that's just sat on. But he commended those who took action, who got creative and were diligent, those who got to work. And what was the response of the master? Exactly the passage that we read just before. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little, and I will entrust to you much. That is the response of that will be the response to those who are creative and diligent in utilizing their talents. It's safe to say that the master, and in this parable, many believe that it's referring to the master is God. And God's pleased with their action, their diligence in getting to work to actually multiply the gifts that they've been given and entrusted with. So, how does this apply to us? Well, I think for many of us, if we're honest, there have been seasons in my life where this has been true as well. We can just kind of settle back and sit on our talents, can't we? We can just kind of get out the lazy boy recliner, if you like, and just sit back and cruise a little, not really utilizing our talents. We kind of resort to inaction instead of action. For some of us, maybe as we think about utilizing our talents, we might even be gripped with a sense of fear. Because sometimes, you know, when we utilize talents, we're kind of putting ourselves out there a little bit. And there's a chance that people might not respond positively, isn't there? We don't want to fail. We don't want others to view us as a failure. And so we don't tend to take risks. We play it safe and don't do much at all. But here's the thing, friends. God honors creativity and diligence. He loves nothing more than seeing you utilizing the gifts that he's given you and entrusted to your care and developing them, to see them become more and more and have greater influence to point others to him, to extend his kingdom, to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes for us, that's as simple as taking a step of faith, stepping out of the safety of the boat, so to speak, and stepping out onto the water with Jesus, trusting that we'll be okay with him, that he's got our back and best interests at heart. Now, in a way, if you think of it like a farmer, farmers know. Farmers are some of the most creative and diligent and hardworking people in the world, aren't they? They're brilliant, women and men. And farmers aren't stupid. They know that if they sit on their lazy boy recliner, there ain't going to be any crops to harvest in a matter of months. They know that in order to see a harvest, they've actually got to get up off their behind and sow some seeds, don't they? They need to plow the ground. They need to sow seeds. And I think like a farmer knows that, we'd do well to understand that talents, our skills, our resources, time, abilities, they're a lot like seeds. If we don't plant them, they won't have the chance to grow and become something truly beautiful. They'll just stay in the same form and, yeah, just stay as a seed. So what will happen if we do plant them, so to speak? Well, I think God will, in time, grow and develop our talents into a beautiful, plentiful crop that showcases his beauty. You know when you see someone who's just operating in their sweet spot and you can see that they love Jesus and the Spirit's at work in their lives? That is one of the most beautiful things, isn't it? And you can just see it. You don't have to ask, do you have faith in Jesus? Because, you know, you can just see it. You know that they do. Their whole countenance, their whole way of life, their approach, their values, everything. It's just shining through. And I think that's what happens when we plant our seeds, so to speak, and allow God to grow and develop our talents. So my encouragement to us, let's get creative. Let's get up off the lazy boy recliners. And let's use our gifts for God's glory and let him grow them and develop them into something truly beautiful that points other people to him and brings him glory. He's going to honor us as we do that. Okay, so God entrusts us with his gifts, gives us gifts we can handle, honors creativity and diligence. And here's a hard one. God warns that fear and laziness lead to missed opportunities. The third servant in the story is the one that God really warns us about. And I'm going to read verse 18 and 24 to 25. He says, but he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Verse 24, he also who had received the one talent came forward saying, master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what's yours. What do we see here? We see that fear of man ultimately crippled this particular man. He didn't want to return less than what his master had given him. And so he buried his talent. He sat on his hands. He didn't seek to be creative or diligent. And as we see in Jesus' parable, his choice to play it safe cost him dearly. Matthew 25, 26. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. There's no question that fear can cripple us at times, can it? But here's the thing, inaction, either as a result of fear or laziness, always leads to missed opportunities. All of us have opportunities every day to join with Jesus in his kingdom work. It can be as simple as smiling at someone. Really, bringing Jesus' kingdom is not a hard thing. If we seek the Lord, if we invite Holy Spirit to move through us, He might just lead us to smile to someone in a queue at Coles or something. Next thing you know, we're having a conversation and that person shares something with us about how they've been struggling and our smile made all the difference. It can be as simple as something like that. All of us have been given talents and we can all choose to use them or not use them. So here's the takeaway, I guess. We'd be wise to learn from the wicked and slothful servant and actually use what we've been given. You never know the kingdom opportunities that might come about as we step out in faith and trust in our Almighty God. Amen? Okay. So, God entrusts us with his gifts. God gives us gifts we can handle. God honors creativity and diligence. God warns us that fear and laziness lead to missed opportunities. And here's the final point for today. God will keep each of us accountable. I see a few of these right now. You know, at the end of Jesus' parable, the master returns and does a bit of, I guess, what you'd call an evaluation. He evaluates how his servants have performed, what they've done with what he's given them. Now, let me be perfectly clear here, just so no one goes down a rabbit hole of fear and sorrow, you know. Our salvation is not based on our works, okay? So this is a sobering parable and it's fully true, but our salvation is not based on our works. Jesus is not here talking about salvation per se, but let's also be clear here. Good works are evidence of genuine salvation. Good works are evidence of genuine salvation. We're not God, and we're not to judge in the sense of condemn other people. We're to righteously judge, and if we see that someone is not at all following Christ and perhaps their friendship might lead us away from Christ too, we're to make righteous judgment and go, maybe it's not so good that I'm hanging around with this person anymore. I'm going to continue to pray for them. I'm going to continue to love them from a little bit more of a distance, but I'm not going to be close to them and welcome them into my closest circle. Yeah? Does that make sense? Good works are evidence of genuine salvation. Think about this. If as a Christian, we live our entire lives for selfish motives and we're lazy and we refuse to utilize anything that God has gifted us for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom, honestly, we would have to question whether or not we actually love Jesus Christ, wouldn't we? And whether or not we have saving faith in him. Now, again, we're not saved by works, but we're certainly saved for good works. The reality of a regenerated heart in Christ is that little by little, we will look a lot like Christ. Our behaviors will reflect Christ. The way we use our money will reflect the generosity of Christ. The way we use our talents will reflect a lot of Christ and will point other people to him. We're not saved by good works, but we're certainly saved for good works. And good works naturally flow from a heart that's been captured by the beauty of Jesus, the wonder of the cross. Amen? Would you agree with that? So in Matthew 25:19, we see each servant giving an account, the one with five, the one with two, the one with one. And we read earlier in verse 21 and 23 how the master rewarded the faithful servants with these words. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much." But Jesus' words in verses 26 to 30, addressing the unfaithful servant, I mean, man, they should serve as a confronting, straight warning to all of us. Jesus says, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, friends, don't just move on. Sit in this horribly confronting and uncomfortable space for a moment. Many people have tried to explain away hell, explain away Gehenna, as though it's just a place outside of the city where they used to burn, or probably still do to some degree. There's a rubbish tip, and they used to burn rubbish, and it was like this eternal fire because it just kept burning all day and all night, and oh, that's actually what Gehenna's referring to. That doesn't line up with Scripture, friends. Jesus is abundantly clear. There is a heaven, and there is also a hell. And he's not talking. Some people then try and soften it again. Well, oh well, how could a loving God send people to eternal torment? And I would say to that, well, a loving God doesn't send anyone anywhere. He gives them a choice. And we have a choice to receive Christ and enter into eternal rest. And we have a choice. The implication is, if we do not choose that, we're actually choosing the alternative. And the alternative is outer darkness. Eternity separated from the light of Christ. In that place, there will be the most horrific weeping and gnashing of teeth. Day and night, day and night. Yeah. Mm. Absolutely, yep. Someone just mentioned, they read something, you end up in hell not because Christ rejected you, but because you rejected Christ. And that is absolutely true, friends. So let's just sit in this uncomfortable headspace for just a moment to let it sink in. And I'm not just talking about letting it sink in for us. I'm talking about letting it sink in for all those people you love, who you know have not yet bowed the knee before Jesus' throne of grace. Because as much as you will hear false teachers today try and do away with hell and try and do away with parables like this, oh, but that's not actually what he meant. That's what he meant. That's what he meant. Much is at stake in this life, friends. And we have a great responsibility to, as we sang earlier, go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. This news of the gospel, the only thing that saves, the very thing that welcomes us into life now and forevermore. So let's not just move on emotionally. Let's not just think about the beautiful sunshine outside that we should have had on Friday and all day Saturday, or something else to distract us from the sobering reality of Jesus' words. Let's sit with this. Jesus is saying that each and every human being is going to give an account for how we've used our lives, how we've used our talents, our opportunities, our resources, our time. One day, every single person will stand before their Maker and either be commended for their faithfulness. Isn't it an amazing thing that if you have received Christ, God is going to look at you and Christ is going to be there advocating on your behalf. And he's going to be saying, this one's mine. Papa, this one's mine. Isn't that a beautiful thing? One day we'll all stand before our Maker and we'll either be commended for our faithfulness or we'll actually be condemned for our faithlessness. And as I said, this is really important. If your faith is in Jesus, you will be saved because that is what is required for salvation. But Scripture is also clear. There are unimaginable treasures and rewards in heaven for us to enjoy if we are faithful to God in this life and serve Him and love Him with all of our hearts. We don't quite grasp it because, like Peter was talking about in communion, we haven't seen it. We can't comprehend it. But the reality is, whatever that looks like, every good act, every smile, every time we stand up for something that is right, every time that we side with Jesus, we are somehow storing up riches and treasures in heaven that will never perish and never fade, that will be able to be enjoyed forevermore. So, let's not kind of cruise through this life, friends. Let's not take it easy. Let's not put all our eggs in, well, I'll just rely on God's abundant grace and I'll just live my life and I'll sleep around and I'll exploit people and I'll do whatever the world says is good and just scrape into heaven by the skin of our teeth, perhaps, after living selfishly for much of our lives. Let's understand and experience God's grace. And let's allow that grace to be the very thing that propels us to long to follow Jesus and long to outwork in good works out of gratitude and love for Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, I've got a sixth point. Forgot about that. One final thing. I thought the other one was final. Well, here's another one. Something we don't like to talk about much, but Jesus says, and we've reflected on this already, the choices we make today have eternal consequences. The choices we make today have eternal consequences. You know, we're very mindful of temporal consequences, aren't we? Maybe some of us are trying to exercise more, or we're looking at the new year and like, 2025, it's going to be the year. I'm going to finally do that 5K run or whatever it is. And we're very mindful of that. We're like, okay, cake in equals more weight on, or whatever it is. And they're the kind of things that we're consumed with. But let's not forget, choices we make today don't only have consequences in the temporary, they have eternal consequences too. The good, we love Jesus in this life. We place our faith in him in this life. And we don't sit back, but we keep outworking good works to glorify him. And just as a heart gratitude for all that he's done, be in the body of believers, stirring other people to continue to be faithful to Christ till the very end. If we do that, we're not going to be scraping through. We're going to be flying through. If we choose to love and follow and enjoy Christ today, it's going to go well for us in this life, and it's going to go incredibly well for us come eternity in glory. We will, as the Master says, be invited into God's very presence, invited to rule and reign alongside him in the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus, verse 23, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." These are the words we want to hear. "You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And as we've reflected on, it's sobering, it's confronting. If we don't love Jesus in this life, if we refuse to place our faith in him in this life, even if we live the most wholesome, pure life without repenting and seeking relationship in Christ, or another alternative is we live the most selfish, sinful, hedonistic life we possibly could, either of those alternatives, they don't end well for us. They won't end well for us at all. We are going to be declared wicked and slothful servants, and we're going to be cast into the outer darkness, eternally separated from God. That'll be our destination. Pretty heavy, but true. So much is at stake, friends. So much is at stake. And this is why we should, as followers of Christ, consider it a joy to share Christ with other people. And I would say why we need to be careful to not get stuck in the lazy boy and hit that injector seat thing and get out there into the world. And realize that time is short. There's a lot at stake. People's eternal destinations are on the line. And I'm not saying that to leave, you know, like put that on you. I'm just saying that's the reality. The Spirit works through his people. And maybe if we were more mindful of the eternal realities, we might be receptive to the Spirit leading us to say something to someone else. That might just be the very thing that shifts their eternal destiny away from the highway to hell. It's a good song about that. To, as Pastor Hal Oxley talks about, the highway of holiness, following Jesus in this life. So, let me ask you, what's your choice going to be in this life? How are you going to live? Are you going to surrender wholeheartedly to Jesus, placing your faith in him as you accept the love and the grace that he's shown to you on that cross? And are you going to live for him and him alone, using everything that you have at your disposal, every talent, every gift, every dollar and cent for his glory? Or are you going to live life how you see fit, going your own way, operating ultimately as though you yourself are God. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. The choice is actually, whether people realize it or not, this is a choice that God has given every single woman and man and child on this planet. So whether you're following Jesus today or seeking spiritual truth, my prayer is that you would listen, take to heart, and heed Jesus' warnings in this parable, and that you'd choose him today. That you, if you've been following him, that you'd recommit yourself to following him with joy today. The choices we make right now today have eternal consequences for incredible, mind-blowing good that we can't even really comprehend in heaven with God, or for unending pain and sorrow in separated from him. Let's all, whether we're online listening or here today, let's all choose life. Choose life today. And if you choose life today, which is found through faith in Jesus Christ, not only will you have life today, but you'll also be enjoying life forevermore. How about we pray? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're in awe of you. We're in awe of the wonderful gift of free will that you give your children. You know, people often say, well, how could a good God do this or allow this or whatever? But I think the flip side to that is, well, how could a good God make a bunch of people who can't choose anything, who are just powerless to either worship you, like little lemmings, like that video game where they just all go the one direction with no choice in the matter. But God, because of your great love for us, you gave us free will. You gave us the choice. And God, we're reminded in this very sobering parable that choices we make today not only have consequences for the here and now, but they have eternal consequences too. And the choices that we make today, a bit like a snowball, we make lots of good ones and we continue on the right path with real energy and speed. But the same is also true. If we make consistently poor choices that don't align with your kingdom and your values, Lord, it kind of snowballs into a very, very dark place where we're going further and further away from you and your best for our lives. So God, help us to heed these sobering warnings of Jesus. Help us, God, to not sit back on our lazy boy recliners and just cruise through, trusting in your grace, but not really putting our hands to the plow. But God, help us as we behold you, as we look to the cross and are reminded of what you have done and the incredible love that you have for all people everywhere. Lord, may that compel us to want to follow you, and may that do a work in our hearts so that a natural overflow is good works that glorify you as we use our talents and skills and resources. And also, Lord, are good for the church, as the church is full of people on fire, passionate about you, using their gifts, serving alongside one another. And also, God, the flow on from that is that people everywhere will experience the wonder of God's love as they even interact with us as we go about our everyday lives. So God, guide us in that. Guide us, Lord, also to pray for all the people that we know who have yet to place their faith in you. Time is short, God. And as we often say, we don't know when we will breathe our last. Could be tomorrow. Could be later today. We don't know. And so, God, would you give us a passion for those who are perishing? And would you give us courage as we allow you, Holy Spirit, to have free reign in our hearts and our lives, to be ready to give an answer in season for the hope in which we have, or to be ready to share an encouraging word that you reveal for someone to our hearts. Whatever it is, God, help us to play a part in telling the good news of the gospel from the mountain and seeing people come to saving faith in you. Because as much as we think in this life that so many other things really matter, in the end, all that matters is that people would find faith in you. And that's it. So God, give us a burden for that. And may the warnings of Jesus always be before us to help us to keep on track with you and to joyfully follow you, God, knowing the wonders of what is involved for us. That those words would be said over our lives one day when we stand in glory too. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with little, and now I will put you over much. We thank you, Jesus. Be with us in the days and weeks ahead as we probably continue to process these hard words of yours. And would you be glorified as we are people who not only love you, but follow you too and evidence that love through our good works. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.